Cowie Hart Hemmings is the author of this short story collection, House of Thieves, and the novel Juniors, The Possibilities, and The Descendants. A New York Times bestseller and an Oscar-winning film, she has degrees from Colorado College and Sarah Lawrence, and was a Stegner Fellow at Stanford University. Her latest novel is How to Party with an Infant. It's published by Simon & Schuster, and it's the subject of our chat this morning. Cowie, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
This was an incredibly fun novel. It took me back to my, I was trying to decide if it was making me nostalgic for those days or if I was glad that I survived them and don't have to live through them anymore.
They were behind you, right.
They are behind me. So I'm going to give you a chance to introduce the novel, take us into How to Party with an Infant and kind of how you conceived of it and this world.
Sure. It's a novel, and the character's name is Mellie Bart, and she lives in San Francisco. She is pregnant. When she finds out she's pregnant, she announces the great news to her boyfriend, and he announces that he's already engaged. And this is obviously devastating, but she moves forth as a single mom without his support, and she's young. She's 27 when she first has Ellie, and she forces herself out into the world of mother's clubs because she doesn't know anybody with children. And this is sort of the premise of the novel, is trying to move forward on her own and try to find friends. Her boyfriend also does invite her to the wedding when Ellie is 2 years old and wants Ellie to be the flower girl, and this gives her sort of a impetus to get something under her belt. And she tries, she's a want to be author, and she tries out for this writing cookbook competition for the Mother's Club. And this novel sort of takes the structure of an author questionnaire that she has to fill out.
I really liked all of the layers of this. So yeah, so it's this author questionnaire, which is, I don't want to use the word device, but it is a great device in order, you know, to tell a story. And then you've got these kind of blog postings on a mommy board, which are hilarious and great. And I really liked that you had so many kind of different avenues into the story and different ways into these characters. And I thought, you know, there's a lot to learn in here for writers that are trying to access characters in different ways and fresh ways. And it was really fun. It was really fun. How did that structure come to you?
You know, it came to me just because I was filling out an author questionnaire for one of my novels. I'm not sure which one. It was long ago. It may have been The Descendants. And I just remember answering something just for fun, just honestly, knowing I wouldn't submit it. And I just sort of let myself be unfiltered. And I wrote a story using that structure, and just as an example of someone answering questions just unfiltered, just letting these questions be a diving board into their true mindset. And so when I went back to this, I picked that structure up again and ran it throughout the novel. I had written the novel without that being a motif that runs throughout. As everything comes to be through revision and revision and revision, this structure just announced itself in a way.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I want to get to that revision process a little later, and likewise, the message boards in here, you know, women, I think, spend lifetimes on these stupid parenting messaging boards trying to, you know, rip their hair out.
Yeah.
And that also, I don't know when that came in the process, but also just a great way to show humor and character and immerse yourself in that, you know, early mommy world.
Those message boards, I mean, most of them were direct quotes from message boards.
Oh, my God.
When I was a parent. Actually, I wouldn't say most of them. I'd say all of them. And I wasn't writing a book at that time, but I remember cutting and pasting these messages just because they were just so audacious to me and funny. And I mean, there were tons that were helpful, that I didn't cut and paste, but these were just like, oh, wow, this could be useful to me one day. And so I saved them.
That's a great idea, actually. I mean, we're always looking for places to get material and, yeah, mommy message boards.
It's
classic.
They're a resource.
It's funny because I was wondering, I mean, so the book takes place in San Francisco and, I raised my daughter in Orange County, which I think is, you know, sort of San Francisco on steroids in some ways in this regard.
Oh, I bet.
But I was, you know, I was trying to figure out, what do women in, you know, Kansas or Iowa, you know, are they making themselves this crazy over all this crap? And, you know, if it was sort of a San Francisco or coastal specific novel, I couldn't.
And I believe it is. And yet, I think each place has its thing. I would be interested to know, you know, if, but I bet moms do that too in the Midwest or anywhere. Because you're obsessed, about your child and you want to make you're obsessed with making the right choices, if you're a mother, no matter where you are.
Which didn't seem to be the case when I grew up in the 70s and, you know. They were smoking and had a cocktail and they didn't care. Well, I mean, the women in here have a cocktail too, but they feel guilty about it. But the women back then, you know, felt completely entitled to have a martini.
Oh, yeah. I remember being in Hawaii and hitchhiking with my surfboard. And, I don't think maybe our mothers weren't as concerned with good choices.
Clearly.
But it worked out, so.
But it worked out. And maybe better, you know. I guess time will tell.
They were onto something.
My guest this morning is Cowie Hart Hemmings. The book is How to Party with an Infant. So let's talk a little bit about Treading. This felt so fresh and so unique, but yet the territory in which you were treading has been well trod, right? I mean, writing the Three Martini Playdate or some of these. All right, so let's talk about treading in fresh and unique ways into sort of territory that's been trod before. So the kind of mommy narrative has been talked about before, but let's talk about how you access that in such a unique and new perspective.
Yeah, I guess that's why I wrote these stories that are within the novel that go into the different characters. So they each have a story to tell that makes it just a little more complex. It's not about, you know, all just mothering and babying, but it's about their relationships with their children and their relationships with themselves. And I try to create these standalone short stories, but that worked in a novel setting and that pushed the novel narrative forward as well. So I guess that was my take on it. And then I just my take was my take, and my experiences as a mom in San Francisco and trying to create a character who adopted some of those experiences and tried to make it funny and entertaining and complex as motherhood is. And
it's so funny. I mean, I don't know where you came up with the dialogue or if that was true to life back in the day. Did you keep notes and things as you were going through this experience back when you were?
When I was directly in the experience, I would write blog posts. Okay. And so none of that was fictionalized when I was writing the blog. It was just essays. And it was sort of my way of capturing that time because I wasn't like a scrapbooker or, you know, those books where it says, what was your baby's first word and all of that. I never did that kind of thing. So this was sort of my way of, keeping track and just keeping things.
Yeah, right. Because kids say so many great phrases. It's too bad to lose those, right?
And I love that because then I have it in here. I have so many of the things my daughter has said and... Yeah.
And it sounds like some of these characters were based on real life people. I mean, in the acknowledgments at the end, it sounded like you had a mommy group and some of these characters flowed from that. So talk a little bit about creating characters who are authentically themselves in the book. You know, they're true characters based on real people. And if the real people sort of clouded the fiction.
Yeah, I did have, like the character, I... went through trial and error for finding a mom's club or mother, a play group, and there were a lot of misses. And I finally found the hit. And so that was similar to that this character in that she finds her people and she finds friendships, something she never thought she would have as a mother. But as far as the characters, none of them were based on the people, my friends. They were all just, I don't know where they came from, but they were all just fictional. So it was just mainly the places and some situations that were true, but most of it was fictionalized in terms of the characters.
It's so much easier to do it that way. I think it's always harder to...
There was no man in my group, so...
Damn it.
I had to create that.
Talk a little bit about what the characters gave you trouble, you know, if there were people in here who were more difficult to access and, you know, because you do a lot of wonderful point of view shifts where you get to hear their stories from their perspective. And I was wondering if there was anybody in here who was sort of a headache to you or took longer to figure them out.
Yeah, well, I guess one of them who is more mild, her name was Georgia. That was a little harder for me. And so I really had to get into her mind and what's making her tick and how can I make her stand out. But the others, I work through by just making them speak and act and take actions and make choices. And that's really the way I figure out a character. And so a lot of that just comes with forcing myself to make them say something, make them do something. What do they want? And just having that in my head.
Yeah.
I guess children were a little hard, not to write, but even though it's a book called How to Party with an Infant, it's hard to make them that interesting. You know, everything they say can be cute and everything. So I wanted the child characters to be full and brought to life, I didn't want to focus too much on them, ironically.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it really is the adult story and what's happening to them. And then the children are almost less like characters and more like interventions in their life, you know, more like obstacles that are preventing them from always being able to do what they want to do.
Right.
Which is true in real life, too, let's be honest.
Yes, let's be honest.
And, actually, this might be a good time for you to read to us. So now that we've talked sort of about who these people are and the setting, maybe I can have you read for a few minutes to us.
Okay, I will do that. I signed up with the San Francisco Mothers Club and went through a few mismatches before landing on my current one. My first try lasted a day. Ellie could only sit at the time. Her play involved mouthing things and bouncing on her diapered butt while clapping. The meeting spot for my first playgroup outing was Golden Gate Park Playground, but there was just one other mom there when Ellie and I arrived. The woman and I waited in the sandpit for the others, breezing through the standard topics, child's exact age, sleeping and feeding schedules, what we were strolling, where we lived. Conversation was a bit tough. She was a mommy natural, the kind of mom that wears those hideous baby slings made from what appear to be curtains, sings Baba Black Sheep with utter abandon, dresses her babies in clothes that are itchy, butch, and biodegradable, and wears hats that look like they're made out of worry dolls. I don't think she liked me very much. Maybe she smelled the ethanol on me or saw Ellie's disposable diaper. I couldn't tell if her baby was a boy or a girl, something intentional, I assumed, since it was one of those organic, free-range babies dressed to look like a migrant worker. Mommy Natural was beginning to drive me nuts. She repeated every action the babies made. Hers picked up a shovel. "You've picked up a shovel," she cooed. Ellie picked up a plastic pail. "You've got a pail." Hers looked around for more toys. "You're looking for a new toy. You like her bucket." "Oh, no, Bodie. She's playing with a bucket. Can you share? Are we learning to share?" "I'm still learning that," I said, trying to be funny. I had to put it out there, but she just looked at me in that condescending green party kind of way. "I mean, we all are," I rewrote, trying again. as a civilization. That's true, she said. Christ. Fortunately, Ellie pooped, and I thought, I should, like, leave, and I did.
I love it. That was Cowie Hart Hemmings reading from her latest novel, How to Party with an Infant. You know, the humor in here is so great, mostly because it's so relatable. I mean, these are just universal things that I think every mom goes through. But writing humor is not the easiest. And I was wondering if you just have a natural ear for it, if you have a sense when things are working or falling flat, and kind of getting that tone just right.
Yeah, this may sound bad, but I don't know how else to write sometimes. I think it's just the way I see things and the way I have my characters. When I get carried away in the moment of having them speak, it just sort of comes out that way. And then through revision, it's kind of about your ear, too, and just the rhythm of a sentence and a simple change of a word can sometimes make things funnier to me, just by the way they sound. And so I don't want to say, God, I'm so funny so naturally, because that's not cool, but...
But it's great.
It's just my tone.
It's so great. Do you read your work out loud to yourself?
I do when I'm done, or when, you know, when I've written a few pages or something. I will read it out loud, especially the end. I'm always the last lines of a paragraph. I just like to have it sound right in my ear, and then it just feels right.
Right. The other thing that strikes me, dialogue is really difficult for me to write, and there, because all of these characters are so distinctive, and yet they're all really pretty very funny. I thought that's tricky too, to get them to sound completely unique and distinct and of their own voice, and yet, mm-hmm. you know, they all share this, you know, kind of common humor and banter with each other.
Right. And I don't know if I succeed at that, because I try, you know, to have them do different things and speak in different ways. Sometimes the tone of the whole novel it sort of clouds over everything, but that's something that, you know, takes revision. takes time, too.
Right. How long did it take you to write the novel?
I don't know, because I started versions of it years ago, like, you know, and then I put it down.
Yeah.
And then I would write a few stories that eventually made their way into it. So it sort of like fits like little bits. I maybe started when my daughter was 2. She's 11 now, but I haven't been working on it the whole time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The thing that interests me about that is sustaining interest in, you know, I mean, a lot of people pick up something with enthusiasm and they're into it for a couple of months, and then your attention changes, or, you know, your daughter is no longer a toddler, so you would lose interest in it. But to have that sustained interest in it, I think, is both a tribute to the novel and a tribute to that time of life, which does just imprint itself on your psyche for the duration.
It does. And I think I also just needed a little bit of time to pass, or else it would be too much of a diary entry type of, I would be too immersed in that world, and giving it a little distance gives it just a little more depth, I think, and allows me to make more of a structure and make a novel instead of just, you know, blog posts.
Yeah, good point. And I also often talk to writers about writing about a place, and our discussion of writing about a different time of life is apropos to that. But writing about a place where you were that you no longer are, I think, is really helpful to give you sort of that perspective and an ability to see it a little more objectively than if you're steeped still in living in San Francisco, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I wrote The Descendants from San Francisco, and I wrote The Possibilities, which is set in Colorado from Hawaii. And then I wrote this one, set in San Francisco from Hawaii as well. So I always back off a little from a place. Not that you have to, but I don't know, for me it helps, and it's interesting to me to leave a place and find out what sticks that, during that whole time
exactly.
that you've gone.
Yeah, and it seems like the most germane parts of it would bubble up to the surface and stick in the book, you know, and
right.
kind of all the chaff gets sucked away, hopefully, maybe.
Right, hopefully.
So let's get into that revision thing, because that's another area that writers really struggle with. And talk a little bit about what your revision process looks like if you write it all the way through and then go back and massage it if your office is filled with notes and charts and all that kind of stuff. What does it look like?
I try to write all the way through. And once I get started, I try to write fairly quickly. And that I don't take too much time laboring over each sentence. I really just try to get words out on the page and figure out where it's going to go. And then when I finish, then I go back to the very beginning and smooth it out or cross it out completely and rearrange. And it's usually a pretty big, I mean, I'm not sure I do this right. I don't know if this is the right way to do it. But I love revision, and so I guess that's why I write so quickly, is so I have something to revise. So that's the process. I don't have notes everywhere. I just really try to write the book and then go back to the beginning.
What percentage of your time would you say is getting the words down on the page versus massaging them afterwards? Is it like a 20-80 thing? Or
probably. That sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. It's a tricky one, that revision thing.
Mm-hmm. But it's fun.
It's fun. Yeah, it is fun.
I just feel that's when you're creating something.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
My guest today is Cowie Hart Hemmings. We're drawing down on our time, but I also wanted to talk about, so you write in the YA field, and I don't know, did you write the screenplay for The Descendants?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
The director did, Alexander Payne.
Okay. That's great. But I know you work in the short fiction area and in the YA area as well as novels. Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about, I don't know if you do all of those kind of simultaneously, if you have a novel and you wait until that's done before you pick up a short story. Well, it sounds like this one has been ongoing for a while. So talk a little bit about structuring your time and your brain space and kind of, you know, I mean, a YA is such a shift from being in the world this novel is in. Maybe it isn't, I don't know, but just talk about kind of allocating your brain space and where you feel the most comfortable.
Yeah, I definitely finish a book at a time, unless it's in that editing phase with the editor, not my editing phase, but like the last stages of editing where you're just working on little tweaks here and there. Then I can work on something else. But otherwise I have to focus on just one. The YA novel, I wrote just one of those, and that wasn't a mind shift at all. I think because it was realistic fiction, and it was mainly for kids that are definitely in high school. Wasn't for young kids, and it dealt with adult subject matter, and I guess the only reason why I made it YA is so I could fully get into the teenager's mindset instead of having her feel like she's narrating an adult story. I wanted to focus on her, what her concerns as a teenager would actually be. But yeah, I really enjoyed the writing YA because I didn't have to change that much.
Yeah.
Of my style.
And it's good prep for almost having a teenager. It would be perfect.
Correct. And I love writing young voices.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because mine hasn't changed that much to get into.
Oh, we're drawing down on our time. Do you have words of advice or wisdom for writers that we haven't touched on yet?
Oh, gosh. Read and revise. That's the biggest one for me.
That's the best,
Right. And reading is always, whenever you're lacking, inspiration, I'd say just pick up a book. And that usually does the trick for me.
Yes. No, for me too. For me too. Yeah, it's amazing how many people that I talk to who write, and you say, "What's the last thing you read?" And they said, "Oh, you know, I don't read very much." I'm like, "Really? Because really,
Really?
really,
Yeah.
it's not going to go well over time."
No.
Oh, Cowie, this was a huge pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
That was Cowie Hart Hemmings. The book is How to Party with an Infant. It is out and available now, published by Simon & Schuster.